Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
As you can see, my friends, right behind me, those are the clouds that we anticipate, according to the Word of God, that Jesus will return in the clouds and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know for a fact, according to the Word of God, that it's going to be an awesome time for the church, the born-again church, we that are born again, washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of promise. We're going to watch the dead go up, and then those who died in Christ, and then we that are alive, we will be caught up with them. But it's going to be a fearful and horrible day for the unbeliever. And so I'm excited about this evening's message. So with that, did you bring your Bibles? If you brought your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to do another expository teaching, verses 10 through 18. And I've entitled this evening's message, Coming Like a Thief in the Night. Look at this for a moment. Look at right up here. Coming Like a Thief in the Night. Wow. I can't wait. Look at this. Coming like a thief in the night. Woo! How many of you can't wait for Jesus to come? You see, let me just pause this for a moment, my friends. Let me just pause here. Coming like a thief in the night is going to be what the unbelievers will perceive. They're not going to know the day or the hour that he's coming. That's right. No one does. Not even us believers. But we are looking for that glorious appearing. And because we have prepared our hearts to be ready, Jesus is coming for those who are looking for his appearing. Praise God. Praise God. And the clarity that I got last week from Evangelist Donald Perkins is that we're going to be changed immediately from this body of flesh into that glorious, glorified body. And then we're going to just go up slowly in the clouds, just like Jesus left. And what Evangelist Donald Perkins, the clarity he brought, made a whole lot of sense. Because by us going up slowly, we will be a witness to the unbeliever that's left behind. Wow. Wow, my friends. Woo! So I'm excited. Listen. Let's go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm praying, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So once again, my friends, I've entitled this evening's message, Coming Like a Thief in the Night. So if you're there at 2 Peter chapter 3, let's expound verses 10 through 18, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Here we go. 2 Peter 3, 10, and it reads, But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Wow. Wow. Look at verse 11 and verse 12. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Verse 13, Nevertheless, we according to his promise, say that with me at home, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Verse 14, Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace and without spot and blameless. Verse 15, An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Did you catch that? as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom and that was given to him, has written to you. Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Verse 17 and 18, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, did you catch that? Since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow, say that with me at home, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen and amen and amen. So, my friends, as we just read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18, Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And the elements will burn and all these things we just read. So let's break this down. Let's go to verse 10 right now. And then verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be what? Burned up. Wow, wow. Look at this scripture that kind of aligns with this, found in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, 22 through 24, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. That's for you and I, saints of God. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Wow. Wow, saints of God. That's awesome, huh? So Christ's second coming will be swift, sudden, unexpected, and terrible for those who do not believe in him. Saints of God, the day of the Lord will be a time of judgment, and it will be destruction. And again, quoting words that we had heard Jesus say, Peter described the coming end. Look what it says right here in Matthew. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be what? Shaken. Let me just pause there for a moment. Something catastrophic will take place. Some theologians believe there's going to be explosions everywhere that'll cause volcanoes to erupt. And when they erupt all over the world, ash and soot and everything else will go into the atmosphere, and it'll block out the sun. You won't be able to see the sun. You won't be able to see the moonshine at night. Oh my gosh. My friends, right now, volcanoes around the world are about ready to explode. There's some right now exploding in the Bahamas. There's some way up North Pole, South Pole. They're everywhere. Everything's about ready to erupt because Jesus said we would see these signs right before his return. Now, look what it says here in the book of Luke. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. Look at that. The sea and the waves roaring. My friends, you know what that means? Sea and the waves roaring. Those are tsunamis. Just imagine what Japan went through several years ago, when the tsunamis came after that, I believe, 9.1 earthquake. Oh my gosh. Saints of God, I'm telling you, there are things I really believe that are signs to us that God is saying, take a look at this. Let's look at number one. I'm going to show you 3 points right up here. Look at number one. The heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, which describes the end of the earth's atmosphere and the sky. So what could do something like that? As I've been indicating, saints of God, it has to be volcanoes, something causing them to erupt all over the world. Number two, everything in them will disappear in fire, and could mean that the celestial bodies will also be destroyed, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the planets. And number three, another third point, Again, this is speculation, but what could happen is the earth and everything on it will be exposed to judgment is an extremely difficult phrase which has given rise to numerous textual variants in various manuscripts, my friends. Wow, wow. So, my friends, some of the readings speak of the earth disappearing, others of it being burned up, and others of it being exposed so that all the works that the people counted on this earth in the place of God will be revealed for their futility. That's right. And then they will all be annihilated. Wow. Oh, my God. See, God's always going to leave a witness behind before he brings destruction. Listen, my friends, this is why you and I who know the truth. This is why those who've been washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of promise, we need to walk worthy of this great salvation. We can't take this salvation lightly. We can't live like we used to do. We got to live, hallelujah, walking uprightly before the Lord, walking humbly with humility, but yet we can go boldly to the throne room of grace, asking God to help us through situations of life. There are many of you right now that are going through situations of life, but let me just say this. God will never leave you nor forsake you. God knows the predicament you're in. God will help you. He will rescue you. He will lift you up because the Bible says he is the lifter of our head. God knows your situation, and God is going to comfort you until he comes for all of us. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Now, let's look what Hebrews says right here. In Hebrews 1, 10 through 12, the Bible says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands." Now look at verse 11. "They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not what? Fail." Did you catch that, my friends? Did you catch that? God is from everlasting to everlasting. God spoke all these things into this world for you and I to exist on this planet. Notice all the elements are perfect. The right air elements to breathe, the food, the rain, the clothing. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's perfect for our environment to live. God prepared that before the foundation of the world. But when sin entered in, this is why you and I must experience physical death. But I'm here to let you know that these bodies of flesh, yes, let it go to the ground. But our soul and spirit as a believer will be united with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he will unite our new body with our soul and spirit. And we will have a glorified body. We'll have a body that will live forever. We'll have a body that can fly, that can appear, disappear. And here's the good news for me. You can still eat. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints of God, when will these events occur? Some have placed them between the events of Revelation 20, the thousand-year reign of Christ, Satan's doom, the final judgment. There's all kinds of speculations. And Revelation 21, my friends, about the new heaven and the new earth, the descent from New Jerusalem, Peter explained that the earth will not last forever. That has to be clear. As God intervened in the past to judge the earth by water, so one day, my friends, he will intervene again. But in that day, the judgment will be by fire, and everything then will be destroyed. You see, my friends, those who presume to take God's delay of this judgment to mean that they can do as they will and please, there's going to be a huge surprise when he returns. And when the destruction occurs, there will be no second chances, my friends. No second chances and no escape for those who have chosen to disobey the Lord Jesus Christ and who created all things. However, in the following verses, saints of God, Peter turned his attention to the believers, you and I, writing to them about how they should live in the light of the coming judgment. So my question is, how do you want to live? Do you want to live loose? Or do you want to live according to the will of God, according to the word of God? Do you want to live a sanctified life, set apart for his great use and purpose? Do you want to store your treasures into heaven? Or do you want to store your treasures here on this earth where rust and moth and thieves can break in? But things that God has prepared to those who love Him will go into eternity. Praise God. God's going to wipe away every tear. God is going to bless you and I to live in abundance, grace and mercy. We're going to be so joyful. The glory of God is going to light up the whole entire brand new earth, and we're going to live in total bliss. How many can't wait for that? Man, saints of God, I can't. I can't wait for that. Praise God. So now let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Let's go there now. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be holy conduct in godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements with fervent heat. Wow. Oh my gosh. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to be destroyed. And God's going to do a new thing. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Peter's description of the coming destruction of the earth ought to cause Christians to carefully examine their lives so that they are holy and godly. Such lives would be in direct contrast to the holy living and godlessness found in the world. Such lives live through faith. How many of you walk by faith and not by sight? Well, Jesus Christ will continue on after the coming destruction. Wow, that's right. After he removes the church out of the way. Look what the Word of God says in the book of Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, you and I, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before Him in love. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what it says in Revelation 22:11. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, because that knowledge that Christians need, not fear the day, that could instead actually look forward to it. How many of you are looking forward to that day? I want to look forward to that day. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I do, because it's going to be a glorious time with God. Now, let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Let's go there. We're going to look at verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Wow, I can't wait for that day, my friends. It's going to be a glorious day. It's going to be an awesome day, my friends. You see, saints of God, believers look forward to the end of the earth only because it means the fulfillment of another of God's promises, His creation of the new heavens and the new earth. God's purpose for people is not destruction, but recreation, not annihilation, but renewal. Praise God. You see, God will purify the heavens and the earth with fire, and then He will create them all anew. All believers can joyously look forward to the restoration of God's brand new, awesome world. How many can't wait? I can't wait. I can't wait, saints of God. Look what it says here in the book of Romans right here. In Romans 8:21, because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Did you catch that? You see, He's doing it all for His children. You and I. You and I. God is taking time out. He's going to step into our time, our realm, and He's going to create all things beautiful right before us. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait. How many can't wait? I can't wait. This body of flesh is failing me. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him every minute. I need Him every second. That's right. So, saints of God, in a beautiful description of the new heavens and earth, believers are assured that it will be a world where everyone is right with God. Why? Because God Himself will live amongst His people. Oh, yes, He will. Look at this right here in Revelations 21, 1 through 4. This is John the Revelator. This is John the apostle who wrote the book of Revelation on the island of Patmos. He said, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea." So eat up all, let me just say this, eat up all the sushi. There's not going to be another sea. Praise God. I had to throw that one in. Praise God. Look at this. Verse 2. "Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Wow. Now look at this. Verse 3 and verse 4. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have what? Passed away." Praise God, passed away. How many can't wait for that blessed day? I can't wait for that blessed day. Now, let's look what it says further on in verse 22. Revelation 21. "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, the Lamb of God who took away our sins, saints of God. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it." Praise God. Look at this. "Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no more night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Did you catch that, my friends? Huh? Did you catch that? See, I didn't understand that. When I read that for the first time, I go, well, who can be these people that will live in this heavenly bliss? That's you. That's me. You see, we're going to be washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit of promise. So God's going to change us, and we will be like Him. And this is why nothing from us now can ever defile those things, because He will done away with our sinful nature. He will remove those things. Praise God. And we will live in heavenly bliss with Him. Aren't you so blessed? Somebody need to give God a shout of praise and glory. Why? Because God is going to make all things brand new. I don't care what you're going through right now, but God is going to change your situation. God is going to heal us. God is going to deliver us. God's going to sanctify us. God is going to lift us up. He will wipe away every tear and nothing. Hallelujah. All the things that we once struggled with, no longer we will struggle, because we will be with the Lamb forevermore. We will say, "Jesus, thank you. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for saving us." We're going to just be sprawled out, and we're going to worship the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many are so blessed to know? Hallelujah. I feel the anointing of God right now. Why? Because I know I'm speaking truth. I know that God is going to save His people. I know God is going to remove this place and give us a brand new home. Hallelujah. A home that we don't have to close escrow on. A home that we don't have to save all of our money to buy it, because God has already bought it through His blood. Hallelujah. For the blood washed church. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Whoo, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God, I'm so thankful for what you've done in our lives and what you did for us. Praise God. Now, let's continue. I had to take a moment to give them praise, glory, and honor. Thank you, God. Look at this. In verse 14 now, we're back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." Praise God. Praise God. And the way to be found without spot and blameless, hallelujah, is to be washed in the blood. Thank you, God. You see, saints, because believers can trust God's promise to bring them into a new earth, and because we are all waiting for these things to happen, how should we live? How should we ought to live a pure and holy life? And to say it in any other way, only this powerful hope could entice us to live righteously. Can I get an amen? We need to do something on our part. Now, I don't preach a works salvation. God has already done the work on the cross. But it should be evident in your life that God has changed us. God has filled us with His Holy Spirit. And now He has opened our eyes to the good and to the evil. So we should refrain from the evil. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Jesus. You see, my friends, God's kingdom will be characterized by peace with God. Therefore, believers, you and I, we ought to practice with God now in preparation for living the kingdom. We should not become lazy and complacent. Can I get amen? Just because Christ has not yet returned, but He will return. Instead, we should live in eager expectation of His coming. And what would you be doing when Christ returns? Are you looking for Him, or are you out there doing what the world does? You see, my friends, that is how you and I, we should be living holy unto God. That's right. Knowing that God can come at any moment. Praise God. Praise God. Now, look what Paul wrote to the in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Look at this. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. Yes. Who gave Himself for us, verse 14 and 15, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. This should be in us now, the Holy Ghost living inside. We should be zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Aren't you so blessed? We shouldn't let no one despise us because we know what to do right. And so as the believers waited, perhaps impatiently for the Lord's return, Peter reminded them that the Lord is waiting so that people have time to be saved, to repent. God's patience means salvation for many more who will have the chance, my friends, to respond to the gospel message. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. We serve a mighty God. Can I get an amen? And so we're coming in for a close. We got two more verses to expound. We have 17 and 18 to expound. So let's go to verse 17. Here we go. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. My goodness, my goodness. We don't want that, right, saints of God? We don't want to be led away with the wicked. No way. No way, my friends. We need to be steadfast in the faith. Peter wanted his readers to be warned ahead of time about the danger of false teachers, explaining the false teachers' tactics and future destruction, being forewarned that the believers would not be carried away by the errors of the false teachers. To be carried away means to be led astray into error. The word pictures a person following alongside behind a crowd. The implication is that keeping company with false teachers or people that don't have a mind to be saved. They don't have a heart to repent. Those who follow them, my friends, will inevitably cause the believer to also be led astray and lose his secure footing. I don't want to lose my secure footing. Do you? Well, then refrain. Refrain, my friends, from those who would cause us to stumble, those who have potty mouths and those who still love the wicked things. You have to let them know, hey, I can't do that no more. I'm a child of God and I want to honor the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. And so we look at verse 18 as we close this out. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Peter concluded this brief letter as he had begun by urging his readers to grow. And this is a verb. It's a present imperative, meaning continue growing. We need to continue to grow. We can't stop. Can I get an amen? And the special favor, saints of God, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, is to get to know Him better and better. Believers grow in favor as they understand that they are living by God's grace alone. So everything they do is a result of the grace of God. Believers grow in knowledge as they search and study the Scripture, pray, and they listen to sound teachers and apply that knowledge to their daily lives. Can I get an amen? If they do these, if you and I can do this, saints of God, we will not need to fear being influenced by false teachers. Praise God. You see, Christ is Lord. He's divine. He's omnipotent. He is our Savior, the one who accomplished humanity's salvation. And to Him be glory and honor in this age and in the new eternal age to come. Praise God. And so, my friends, we need to understand the grace of God. How many believe the grace of God? How many believe that God is with you? How many believe that God will never leave you nor forsake you? Praise God. And He won't. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Aren't you so blessed to know that? But my friends, there are many people who mock. I taught last Wednesday, those who would be mocking us, those who would, Jesus is coming. You see, my friends, He's going to come again, right here in the clouds. My question is, are you ready? Are you ready to receive your inheritance? Are you ready, hallelujah, to cry out to God and say, God, thank you for saving a wretch like me? Maybe you just turned in right now and tuned in and you're listening, maybe for the first time. And maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to let you know that by faith, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We repent of our sins. We cry out to God for mercy. We ask God to cleanse us, to wash us in His blood. And when the blood comes through a heart of repentance, it comes and cleanses us. Then the Holy Spirit will come to live inside these wretched bodies that we live in by faith. And God takes up His dwelling place in our hearts, in our minds. And we, everywhere we go, He's with us. How many are so blessed to know the day that you got saved, it was evident. You can feel His physical presence in your life. And He has changed your mindset. He has given you a heart to repent, a mind to be saved. If that hasn't happened yet, God can do that right now. That's right. Because the Word of God is clear. He's coming back in the clouds. Oh, yes. I got Scripture to prove that. Let's look at this. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and said this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe and rose again, even so, God will bring with those who sleep in Jesus. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." Look at this. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." My friends, are you comforting even baby believers that may not know the Scriptures very well? When I first got saved, I didn't know what was the 66 books of the canon. I didn't know the New Testament, the Old Testament. I didn't even know that God was going to call me to pastor in church. But as time went on, as the fire of God just lit my life, I had a desire, an inward desire, to learn more of God. And the way we're going to learn more of God is through His Word. And now it's evident He's coming again. Everything is coming into play. Everything that the prophets said would happen in the days that we live in, Jesus prophesied already that you will see many signs before His taking away of His church. Praise God. Praise God. And we're looking at right now the end of days. Praise God. But something miraculously has to happen. The Bible says we must be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You see, these bodies of flesh, we can't even jump up 6 inches, let alone jump up 6 feet like Michael Jordan. We can't do these things. We have to come down. That's right. We're bound. We're bound to the law of gravity. So something miraculously has to happen. We're going to be changed and we're going to be like him and we're going to float away. And just like Donald Perkins said last week, he brought so much clarity. When we fly up away, the unbeliever is going to just freak out and watch us float up into the clouds to meet the Lord. And then he will take us home to be with him. Wow! Wow, that's a promise. And we'll be in that brand new body. Praise God. Let's look at this verse of scripture right here to clarify. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 54, Paul wrote to them and said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed." Look at this. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption." Look at this. "And this mortal must put on immortality." So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Wow. How many can't wait for that moment? How many can't wait for you to be changed and that we would have a body like Jesus? That's right. We'll be able to see him in his glory. We won't perish and be consumed because of the glory, because we'll have a body to contain the glory. It's going to be an awesome day. I can't wait. And that's a promise to you and I. Praise God. Praise God. But listen, if you're watching and you never been changed inwardly by the word of God, you never repented and given your heart to God and be washed in the blood. If that hasn't happened yet, don't let this happen to you. Let's take a look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow, my friends, the question is, are you ready? You don't want to be left behind. You want to be caught up in the air to be with the Lord. Those folks that you saw in this wonderful depiction, they were playing church. They weren't the church. The real ones that will be caught up are the true child of God that has repented of their sins, that was washed in the blood of the Lamb by the Lord Jesus Christ, and are filled with the Spirit of promise. Those are the ones around the world that will go up, and even those who have already died in Christ. But my question, do you want to be saved? Do you want God to save you? Well, look what Luke wrote in the book of Acts, and Peter the Apostle preached his very first sermon, and he preached this. Look what he did. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Why? "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. There it is right there, my friends. There it is right there. Look, I'm here to let you know, my friends, that Jesus wants to save you. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants to save you. God wants to do something miraculously in your life. That's right. And so cry out to God. those who are watching this live stream right now, those that have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we will all pray with you so that you would receive the Lord and that you would know that your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You would be forgiven and God will give you eternal life. So I want you to bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. And it goes just like this. Pray with me now. Come on. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Someone gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if that's you, down below is our website. Come on. Right there. Log in. Our phone number is there. Our email is there. And reach out to us because we want to reach out to you. That's right. Those of you who have given your heart, we want to give you a Bible. We want to point you to a good church that teaches and preaches the unadulterated Word of God. And so, welcome to the family of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And my friends, I also want to give a shout out and a thank you to all those who continue to support our ministry. I want to thank and praise God, those who send their tithes and offerings through our website, through PayPal. Thank you so, so much for your diligence, your faithfulness, and the grace of God that God has put in your heart to give to the work of the ministry. Thank you so much. And down below is our website. For those maybe who have never given to our website, here's your opportunity for donations are deeply appreciated. So my friends, it's time for me to sign off. Listen, I'm looking forward to this Sunday. And in 2 weeks, don't forget, we have Bishop Joel David Trout speaking on May 9th. Right there at our Bonita location, live in person, 10:30 Sunday morning at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and myself and the Amazing Grace family, we just want to say we love you. Thank you for supporting the ministry. Thank you for logging in this evening. We hope to see you all this Sunday morning at 10:30 by God's grace. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.